Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. Hi, Greg.
What's up, fellas?
What a win, huh?
Just another tremendous night at Gillette Stadium. I mean, geez. I mean, just when you think you've seen it all with this team, and it's just old hat. Like, you just knew they were going to come back. You knew they were going to win, and these fans got another tremendous victory to go on to a Super Bowl. I mean, God, I hope they realize, you know, what they have, because this is, having been around and covered different teams in this league, this is not how it is everywhere else, and it's a special time here, and it's unbelievable.
Greg, have you ever seen a team where there's just isn't a hint of panic in anything that they do? I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, it's funny. I was just thinking about this, that, you know, it's almost, you know, we got used to this with, the first stage of the dynasty, you know,
right.
01, 03, 04, all those guys, it was the same sort of thing. Like, they knew exactly what they had to do, and they would do it, you know, every time. And you figured you would never, ever see that again. And then here comes along this group that's just on the verge of doing the same thing, three titles in 4 years with the same coach and the same quarterback, and it's just, it's unbelievable to witness, and it's been a lot of fun to watch this team do what they've done.
When the Patriots offense did struggle tonight, what do you put it on?
Good question. I think that I knew that they were going to have trouble adjusting to the team speed of Jacksonville. It's one thing to watch it on film. We've seen this before, whether it's Seattle in that Super Bowl, the Falcons in that Super Bowl, even the Steelers this year, were a lot faster than I think the Patriots had encountered before. And I think it took them time to adjust. I also think, I thought it was very smart of Josh, who had let's be honest, he had a rough first half into the second half, but I think, and I don't know if it was Bill saying or just Josh coming up on his own, I think that he realized he had to mix in the run a little bit more because, and I think I tweeted this out, towards the end of the first half or early in the second half, it was almost the same script as the 2010 Jets game where they were just dropping back every time. Brady's taking a beating. He's getting sped up. He's not being as accurate as he normally is. And there's no running game to speak of. And I think they mixed in the run a little bit more. They mixed in some more underneath stuff, and I thought that gave them a little bit of a rhythm and allowed them to, do some things offensively. But I still can't. You look at the stats. I mean, the Patriots converted 25% of third downs, and they had two drives of over 40 yards, yet they won. And it's a testament to their toughness.
To what do you ascribe the better defense in the second half? It looked like the Jaguars were trying to still do some of the same stuff, but it seemed like the Patriots were able to handle it better.
Yeah, I think that are you in terms of the Jaguars defense?
No, the Patriots defense.
Yeah, I'm actually going to write my column on this, and I was talking to a bunch of guys in the locker room and in the Jacksonville locker room about this. There were some adjustments. The thing that I saw is that in the first half, I thought that, and look, give Nathaniel Hackett, the Jaguars offensive coordinator, all the credit in the world. He obviously had a tremendous game plan again for the second straight week. That put the Patriots on their heels. I think a lot of the motion stuff, the read option, a lot of that stuff, even though I'm sure they repped it in practice, it just looked a lot different on the field, and they couldn't, it put the defenders on their heels a little bit, and they were reading and reacting more instead of dictating. And I think, once they got going in the second half, I thought they a little bit more man coverage. They brought pressure. We saw them bring the corner blitz a couple times. Some more games up front and overload blitzes just to make Bortles speed up a little bit and get rid of the ball instead of hanging on to it.
Yeah, and they also did a good job of not letting him get outside and run in this game, which I thought was very helpful for
yeah,
the Patriots
it was.
Defense.
And I thought he had a couple opportunities, and probably when he goes back and watches the film, where he could have made a couple plays with his feet, and he didn't. But, I think, Marquise Flowers, the job that he's done in the past month is a testament to that I think the Jaguars and probably Bortles probably had the mindset coming in, like, look at what happened to Tyrod Taylor, look at what happened to Marcus Mariota. they're going to I'm not going to be able to do what I want to do with my feet. And, you know, I think that, that sort of eliminated a bit of that from what they were able to do.
Yeah, definitely eliminated part of their, you know, what they've used to their success over the last few weeks, especially if you go back and look at what this team has done with Blake Bortles on the ground. Leonard Fournette, very upset after this loss. He appeared to be crying. Did you hear anything that he had to say after the game? Because that was bad. That was a bad look for him.
Was that on the sidelines or in the locker room?
It was both. It was on the field. It was in the tunnel. CBS had cameras on him the entire way in the tunnel. I mean, that kid was an emotional wreck after the game.
Yeah. You know, in the locker room, he just seemed – I know he sat at his locker for a while and was very quiet. I didn't see him doing any interviews. You know, look, this is you know, this is his first time at this. And you know, and even though he went to LSU, he didn't have a ton of team success while he was there, if I recall. And, you know, probably he probably got wrapped up in all this. And probably, you know, he at some point he probably let his mind drift to, oh, my God, I'm going to be playing in a Super Bowl. We're about to knock off the Patriots in their place. And then, you know, for the Patriots to give him and the rest of them a cold dose of reality, I'm sure is going to be tough to deal with for a lot of them. I mean, I heard Mercedes Lewis talking, you know, a longtime Jaguar. You know, he was pretty upset because I think he knows better than anybody that these types of opportunities do not come around all the time. And they had it in their hands, and they just couldn't get it done. And also, you know, the Patriots did what they do.
Greg, our instant reaction here on this show was that Malcolm Butler did not have a good night and Stephon Gilmore did. Would you agree?
Yeah, it seemed that way. I mean, even though, you know, there was one play, and I'm trying to remember which one it was, but, you know, Butler had tremendous coverage. It's just Bortles made a ridiculous throw, and, you know, you have to give Bortles a lot of credit. I mean, I think he played the game of his life tonight, and I don't think he was capable of that. The Patriots certainly made things a little bit easier for him in the early going, and Hackett did a great job setting him up, but Bortles played great, and, you know, the receiver made a tremendous catch on that. And, you know, I think Butler, you know, for the most part has been good this year. Has he been as good as some of the years past? Probably not, but I thought, you know, and I thought Gilmore was, you know, he made some key plays. That fourth down stop was, you know, unreal because, I mean, you know, that's a huge judgment play where if, you know, he decided to go for the ball. If you go for the ball and you miss it and then all of a sudden gets behind you and he's the GOAT, you know, but he made the gamble. It paid off and, it won the game for the Patriots.
Greg, it seemed like another situation in big games where coaches and players make some obvious mistakes between the clock management and the end of the first half and then some of the clock management and play calling in the fourth quarter. It seemed like it was another situation where good coaches and good teams just kind of freak out a little bit.
Well, I mean, the end of the first half, I don't really blame the Jaguars for, you know, taking a knee and getting out of there just because, you know, you had played so well at that point. You know, you just it sort of goes along with this is a team that, you know, basically protects its quarterback, you know, and tries to hide their quarterback. And so they just did not want to expose him against this defense, you know, it making a turnover and sort of ruining all the momentum they had at that point. And, you know, I thought it was a pretty smart decision. You know, I didn't see, I'm sure you guys, it stands out to you more. I didn't see a whole lot in terms of game management at the end of the game. I just thought, you know, the Patriots just outplayed them and they made plays when they needed to.
Well, you get the ball back with about 6 minutes left, and you're only able to run about a minute off the
clock.
Not
even, 57 seconds. They needed to get more time off that clock.
That just seemed a little strange. And then even that, before that, they took the knees. I was thinking in terms of, you know, they could have waited till the two-minute warning to punt that ball. Just a couple little things there. Not monumental freakouts like you had in the Super Bowl against Seattle or Atlanta, but just a couple little things that looked like there might be pressure-induced.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that drive with about 6 minutes left, you know, you could certainly take issue with that. I thought, you know, if I recall, I think, you know, I think they had some plays there to be made and they just didn't make them. And I don't mind being aggressive because, you know, at that point, I think, you know, they probably felt the game turning for them and they realized, Like, we're not just going to be able to sit on the ball and beat this team. We're going to have to score, and they try to do some of the things that were successful. It's just the Patriots made some nice adjustments. You know, I thought they brought a lot more, man coverage and made Bortles sort of thread the needle a little bit more in the second half. And, I thought that helped them get off the field a bit more.
Who's a better matchup for the Patriots in the Super Bowl? It's halftime with the Eagles and Vikings, and it's a 24-7 lead for Philadelphia right now. Who should the Patriots want to play?
I guess with the whole stadium thing, I don't know. We've never been through that. I don't know how that might change things, the dynamic in the stadium. I don't think it would be a huge deal because of all the corporate tickets, but, you never know, and you never want to play a road game in the Super Bowl, and Patriots fans travel so well, that might get messed up if it's the Vikings. I mean, I just think that the Vikings are a little bit more complete team. I'm still not a big Foles guy, but, of course I said that about Blake Bortles, and for, about 50 minutes tonight, he looked like he was going to do the impossible.
All right. Appreciate the time, Greg. You can read Greg's coverage at bostonsportsjournal.com. We'll be talking to you in Minnesota in a couple of weeks.
Yep. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Greg.